Blog Talk Radio.
You're gonna hate me.
What just happened?
I don't know. What just happened?
The music left. What happened?
I don't know. I don't know.
You done messed it up.
I don't know what happened, but it is overly corrected now. I don't know.
I tell you what happened. Your foolishness and shenanigans messing with it before we started, you done broke it again. That's what happened. You just leave well enough alone.
See, I try to do something nice for you people, and that's what I get. Trying to be nice to you people. For you people, I was trying to do this.
Now, if you had done this, I wouldn't have said nothing.
Sorry. What?
I have something to say. I just gave this song the side eye.
You just gave the song the side eye?
Yeah, because the snake is on the loose. This
Here
really
we go.
Isn't a song about a centipede. Now,
reality set in.
Right. I knew it wasn't really about an insect, right? But I just didn't really wrap my head around what it was about. And then when she said the snake is crawling, I was like, you know, snake is crawling. I was like, wait a minute now. Houston, we have a problem. She's talking about sex.
Well, not necessarily sex as much as a sexual organ.
Well, yeah, but here's my confusion, though. What's the centipede in this song?
The snake, the centipede, the hose.
The centipede isn't a snake.
I know, and it's not an insect either. It's a bug. It's not an insect.
Well, whatever. It's
in the garden. I believe we're having this conversation again.
I see John crawling through the window. I don't know if I want my sexual partner through a window. And I know I don't want my penis through a window.
No. The window is not the window.
Cluster Pearl, you're right. OMG, you're right. I get it now.
The garden is not the yard in front of the house.
Oh, because I'm sitting here thinking, why she want him crawling through the bedroom window? I mean, the bathroom window. That's not sexy at all, and it's not cute. That's kind of like a stalker, right? Why she want some strange man crawling through her window at night? But the bathroom window isn't the bathroom window.
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Got it. I am not playing. You understand, America? This is not a joke. It just clicked for me. I will be 25 on Saturday. I'll be 25 on Saturday, and I have been singing this song since it came out, 83, 4, 5? And it's been my jam the entire time, but I've just never analyzed the lyrics. I've just, you know, repeated them. I've just regurgitated them. But it hit me. Wow. Okay, got it. Yeah, well, I can't with you today.
This has been Musical Sex Ed for Kamal and all of her class of naive graders.
You know what? I see Pull Up to the Bumper, Baby, with an honest... It just... I don't know why you mess with me. I just don't understand why my interpretation was just so, you know... What's wrong with my interpretation of it?
Nothing. Your interpretation of the song is, of course, an obvious mistake for anyone in eighth grade. However...
I Disney-ized it. This is how my brain works. My brain just doesn't even think of, you know, the double entrees.
Didn't we discuss Nail It to the Wall at one point, the Stacey Ladislaw song?
Now, what is that about?
Nail It to the Wall.
But she was only like 14 or 15, so it can't be about anything other than...
It's exactly what it's about. It's exactly what it was about. But the innuendo based on the video was to lead you to another place. Just like the Ring My Bell song was offered to Stacey Ladislaw, but they can fix it enough for her at the time.
Wait a minute. Ring My Bell.
Anita Ward, you can ring.
Ding, 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 ding,
huh?
Ding, ding, come to dinner. She's not talking like ding, 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 come to dinner?
No.
Ring my bell. She just wants her... Oh!
She wants her bell rung. Yes.
You are ruining my childhood. You are
ruining my
adulthood because I still sing Ring My Bell, and it's my bell.
did you get it just then? Did you get it when you went to, ow!
Yes!
Yeah.
You know, I sang my ass off. That song came out when I was like 7. Oh, don't talk to me no more. I can't with you. You're just killing all my songs. So what's Hot Potato about? You going to tell me Hot Potato is not about her dropping her boyfriend?
You mean Hot Potato we sung in the game we played in nursery school? Hot Potato, Hot Potato?
No. I'm talking about LaToya Jackson, Hot Potato. And you know I'm talking about Toy Toy.
Well, you know, if we're talking about Toy Toy and it's Hot Potato, it really had everything to do with the fact that she was on a nursery school level mentally.
You better leave LaToya alone, because I done told you, LaToya speaks the truth. That's all right. I got her back. That's all right, LaToya. If you listening, I got your back, girl. Me and Hot Potato. But I need you to talk to your sister about that little nasty song she sang. Thirty years after the fact. don't play with my emotions no more today. I can't take it. Just keep your little song back to yourself.
Should we go through the entire Velvet Rope album for you?
Oh, Lord Jesus, please don't. No, you know what? I'm okay with Janet, because Janet kind of makes it pretty clear. Although, it took me a long time with the Smooth and Shiny line. I was like, what's the Smooth and Shiny? I don't understand. Why is something smooth and shiny taste so good? I don't get this. And then, okay. But that took me like 5 years. What can I say? I just don't analyze the lyrics. I just regurgitate them. I don't even pay attention.
We're gathered here today
to say goodbye to my childhood, to bury my childhood,
to help Kamal understand what this really is going on. Because clearly...
I can't help it. That's just how my mama raised me. I just don't think about stuff like that. I really, really don't.
It's such a shame, because a child so sweet and innocent just never really caught on when she grew up that the rest of the world was already grown up to.
Yeah, but you know, I was a nerd. I was behind my peers. I remember everybody was listening to Prince and Purple Rain, and I owned the album because everybody else owned it, but I would be playing Earth, Wind & Fire and Chaka Khan and Rufus. I wasn't thinking about nobody else. I was in my own little world. And I still, it took me a long time to understand all of the lyrics to Like a Virgin. I mean, I understood, you know, what the song was about for the most part, but there was some of the innuendo that it took me forever to get. I was like, I really don't understand that. What is she saying? What does that mean? Oh. So enough about me. And that's the only time you will ever hear me say that.
I was just so waiting for the other shoe to drop on some other song that was so... I thought you were going to just work your way through some other songs. I apologize. I was waiting for the next one, and I feel so bad that
I can't take it. I can't take it. You know, I have 1,700 songs in my iTunes. Literally 1,732 to be exact. And I will go home and I will randomly put one on, and then, because my brain is working that way today. And I will put one on and I will go, ooh, ooh, this song is nasty. And it'll be something like probably Donna Summer or the Bee Gees.
Or Elton John. Just keep, you know, because I told you my favorite.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Elton John, what did he do?
You know, the song that he let Michael redo, Don't Let Your Son Go Down on Me?
You know what? I really, really hate you. I'm ready to fight you. I'm really getting ready to fight you. You know that Michael Jackson, negative Michael Jackson talk is verboten. You know that. You know I will fight people over Michael Jackson. That's just the bottom line. And I will go to my grave until they come up with video. He's innocent.
Oh, I don't think Michael is anything but innocent. But I can't say the same for Elton John. I can't say the same for the Bee Gees. I can't help it with a whole bunch of them.
I didn't mean innocent in his music. I meant innocent of all sexual charges, sexual molestation charges. I don't believe he did that.
Oh, I'm not talking about charges or music or anything. I'm talking about music. I think Michael was, you know, I still have some questions about Blood on the Dance Floor. But I pretty much think, you know, Mike was trying to say something on a grander scale than we were ready to receive at the time.
See, I mean, keep it in the closet. I got that. There was just, you know, no big deal. Okay. All right. I was a little mad that he was trying to hide our love, but okay. Whatever. I can't even tell my mama. All right, fine, Mike.
No.
You win.
No, because you know your mama wouldn't be keeping that quiet anyway.
Right. I would have been keeping that quiet. Girl, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have kept that quiet.
But all that being said, all things being equal, a lot of the songs you were jumping up and down and dancing to in your little Bobby socks and saddle shoes was just plain nasty.
It's nasty. I know. Shameful. When I just think about all the lyrics that tumbled out of my mouth, I'm mortified.
And you just knew you were. Girl, yes, I'm saying everything. Oh, sweetie, cutie.
Right. And I'm talking about, I'm singing Centipede and singing about a sexual encounter. What? Or singing Bad Girls and singing about prostitution. And then what was I singing about with Little Red Corvette? Because we established it wasn't a car.
Yes, it was far from a car.
And we also established he didn't have an actual stable house filled with Arabian horses and thoroughbreds. We established he wasn't some rich girl living on a horse plantation or whatever you call it.
Right. And we also established that she had no Greek history in mind when she was taking her to the places where she had Trojans, some of them used.
Right. She didn't have a copy of Helena Troy on her person. We established that 30 years later. something is wrong with me.
You just need to know your role, stay in your lane, and go with what you know, and stay where you need to stay, which is basically
my toys, even my drum and train. I want to make some noise with my airplane. Someday I'm going to fly. I'll be a pilot too. And when I do, how would you like to be my crew?
Because come
I'm
on, like
hip, lollipop. It's a sweet trip to a candy shop where bonbons play on the sunny beach in Peppermint Bay.
That's your lane. That's the lane you stay from now on.
And
you stay on the.
You and your horse.
You stay on that good ship lollipop.
Right. You and the horse you rode in on, your convictions, your hopes, your dreams. All of it. I cannot.
Just trying to help you, Ike.
No. I can't be held responsible for people with that little nasty mind. And dropping these songs on the unsuspecting public. Didn't nobody know what she was talking about with a centipede coming through a window?
Yeah, nobody in your head knew.
All I'm saying is, I just need you to be clear. That's all. I just need you to be clear. I don't need no little lyrical game to confuse me for 30 years. Just say what you mean and mean what you say.
Well,
Sexual healing. I got that. There was nothing. Everything was very, very clear. There was no room for misinterpretation for sexual healing.
Actually, sexual healing was a lot of innuendo.
It was very clear. Even I got that.
Because if it came out today, Marvin would be singing, I'm going to give you my needle of love and shoot my ghetto glue gun juice all up in you so you feel better, baby.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Even though there was some double entrees and some innuendo, the song is called Sexual Healing. That's all I needed to know. Got it. I know this is a little nasty. It wasn't called, you know what, Come Suck on a Lollipop. That's, you know, that would have thrown me. I would have been like, I didn't know he liked Jolly Ranchers. I'm serious. I had no idea. Wow, Marvin Gaye likes lollipops. He likes to give lollipops out to people to suck. Oh, he's so nice. That's a sweet thing to do. That's exactly how my brain works.
Okay, Katie, I want you to listen to this song and realize that if you want to get away with something when you become a real teenager, 17, 16 and a half years old, you just tell your mother, we're going to the candy store so I can help him get some gummy worms in through his back window. And then you're
that ain't
good.
That ain't gonna work on me. I'm a little more attentive with my daughter than I am with the music I listen to.
That's a shame. It is really a shame. But, you know, it's the goodness. It's the goodness within you that we love.
Yeah. Okay, so, enough about me. Again, that's the last time you'll ever hear me say that. You know, the world revolves, your world revolves around me.
That's the last what time the you heck? Admit to that? Is that what you said?
That's the last time I'm going to say that.
Okay. So let's talk about a few other things real fast. Now that we've gotten off all we can get out, we've gotten out all that we can get out on Kamal, the girl you can say, let me put my finger in your belly button too. When you were in high school and got away with it.
No, because I would have known that wasn't my belly button after. At the beginning, I would have been like, why you want to stick your finger in my belly button? And then I would have been like, hold up, that's not my belly button. We got a problem.
Wait a minute. Since when is your finger right all the way down there? How come you don't have a finger
right
on your hand?
Yeah, my belly button's up here. You can pull back enough. Look, I wasn't that stupid.
Okay.
Damn.
Okay. But I want you to explain to me why your nephew, Michael Jace, did what he did. Because I am really confused by celebrity news today.
Wait, who? What?
Michael Jace?
Who's Michael Jace?
Didn't you go to school with Michael Jace? You went to school with so many people.
Yeah, who's Michael Jace?
All right, The Shield, the TV series The Shield.
Right.
With, what's his name? Chicklet.
yeah, I don't know. Which one was Michael Jace? I don't think I went to school with them. Which one was Michael Jace?
Michael Jace was the tall cop. He played the tall rookie cop, black cop, who was struggling with his own sexuality. He was really gay.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't go to school with him, but I know you're talking about. What did him do?
He shot and killed his wife Monday night, last night. In their home.
Shut up.
Yeah,
and
called 911. No, not unless he's going to be on Orange Is the New Black.
Right, no, but I think I just saw him on something recently is what I'm saying.
He was, last I remember seeing him, and I don't really watch the show. Oh, my God. It's not Scandal. He played a cop on some other cop show, but he wasn't a regular. My goodness. It's the, Southland.
Oh, I don't watch Southland. I grew up in Southland. That show is some bullshit.
Yeah, I think he had 3 or 4 episodes on Southland.
Wow, he shot and killed his wife in their home? And they called 911? And what did he say?
I killed my wife.
Oh, wow. Well,
so,
what did he do?
That's what I want to know. What her do is. What her do is.
Right. Wow.
Because her did something. Or he snapped out.
Right. Maybe he's just crazy. You know, sometimes they just crazy.
They said that he'd been having some financial issues. But I think it all will come out pretty soon.
Right, but you know what, I think that is such a bullshit excuse when you kill your spouse because you're having financial issues. Because what is that going to solve? Even with life insurance, what is that going to solve?
Well, I look at it like this. If I'm broke, and I'm broke because I found out my wife gave all my money to her boyfriend, I see two things being solved by me shooting her.
Yes, you won't have to worry about money ever again in jail.
And she won't have to worry about a boyfriend or giving my cash away. I'm just saying.
Wow. And you know what? I usually stay on Google Entertainment all day, but I was really busy today and didn't even look at it once.
Yeah. And other celebrity news, this I just found out today is trending on Facebook, which is really blowing my mind. I can't even begin to tell you how blown I am by this, if I can say that without people thinking it's some kind of, I don't know, something bad. But Pat Sajak tweeted out. Did you hear about the Pat Sajak tweet?
No, but Pat Sajak is a crazy right-wing Republican. Conservative,
yes,
as all hell. So I can only imagine. But please tell me what he said.
Global warming alarmists are unpatriotic racists.
Wait a minute. What?
Yep.
How could somebody who says that global warming is real, how are they a racist?
I'm trying to find context. I spent the better part of my time that I was going to be researching other things today, trying to figure out the reason for that statement.
And who are they racist against? White people?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
No, you know what? I showed you that picture of the tombstone. I don't know if it was photoshopped or not because I didn't have time to research it. But as long as there is a tombstone that says America born 1776, murdered by or killed by Barack Obama 2014, nothing Pat Sajak says means shit to me. Read that, Pat, and then we'll talk about some racism, because it has nothing to do with Obama's policies, just so you know.
I mean,
But you know what? Pat Sajak has said something outside of his neck before, and that's why I know he's like this crazy conservative based on what he has said before, and I don't even remember what it was. But he's out to lunch, and you know what? If Wheel of Fortune was relevant anymore, I'd say boycott it. But then if we boycotted it, we wouldn't get stuff like Chili's.
Or the contestant from Indiana who couldn't. Yeah, right. Right, him. Right. Accolades.
Right.
That's what he said. Accolades.
Is that what he says? Accolades.
Yeah, accolades. Right.
Oh, Purdue.
The luckiest spinner. The luckiest spinner and the dumbest reader.
Right. People don't
all
know.
All in one person.
He spun a car.
Yep. Twice he spun half of a car and then spun again and got the second half of the car. And they were like little
right.
slivers on the outside of bankrupt. And he nailed it.
Right.
Twice.
Right. And like all the letters were there. He had one job. At what job? How do you? I know I'm hijacking this conversation, but how do you make it to college? How do you get that far in college and say accolades?
Not just some college. It was Indiana University, big red and white shirt with the IU all plastered on front, proudly saying.
Right, because I don't know about you, we covered Greek mythology and all that kind of stuff by 11th grade.
Yeah, I was deeply steeped in it by the end of middle school, which was junior high school
right.
in my time. And
right, me too. I still have my books on Greek mythology.
Yeah, yeah. So... When you roll with the dummies,
At any rate, you know, Pat Sajak can kiss one of my cheeks. He can pick which one.
This is the amazement. This is the amazement. This is the stuff that comes out of people's Twitter accounts when they think the world is not paying attention, or maybe they think the world is paying attention. Maybe it was a publicity statement to get people to turn back to Wheel of Fortune, because for real, with America's continued dumbing downness going on, it's highly possible that the Tea Party crowd is the crowd that's still watching Wheel of Fortune.
I literally have not seen a full episode of Wheel of Fortune since the 90s, and I say that with all honesty and sincerity. I've seen, you know, clips like, you know, the dumbest shit in the world we were just talking about. You know, I've watched a few clips on YouTube, but I have no desire to watch Wheel of Fortune, or The Price is Right for that matter. I believe that the only people who are watching Wheel of Fortune these days also watch Fox News.
Yeah.
I think it's the same demographic. So, speaking of Fox News demographic, talk to me about these primaries. I know,
okay,
right?
Okay, see, so...
The offense.
Which state of confusion do you want to start with? Do you want to start with what we say are the crazier states, the ones that end in a vowel, usually an A? Or do we want to go with...
why don't we go to the Pacific Northwest and get her
out?
Yeah,
that's closer to you. That's closer to you. You hit us off with some origami.
So, you know, Oregon isn't as normal as people think. I mean, there's been a lot of craziness coming out of Oregon. And I don't understand why. A lot of outside money gets poured into Oregon on these fringe candidates that are really, really crazy. And the fringe candidates rarely make it to the final, you know, whether it be senator or congressperson, but they just screw up the entire process in the process of all this money being thrown in. So for once, they picked pretty much a safe one. She's a Republican. She's a neurosurgeon. You know, she's pro-life, which, you know, she and I disagree on that aspect. But, you know, she's a neurosurgeon. She can put a sentence together. She, you know, seems to have command of the English language. She has command of the policies and whatnot. Pardon me. She didn't seem crazy. I mean, I disagree with her wholly, 100%. I mean, she's really, you know, against Obamacare. I don't even understand how a physician could be that way. So, but anyway, she's moderate comparatively, you know, especially compared to the type of candidates that go up against the Republicans in Oregon. So she's just sailing along, and then boom, Miss Normal has, like, a history of domestic violence. She has an ex-boyfriend or ex-husband who accused her of stalking him, and he got a restraining order put against her. And the court documents show that she was throwing stuff at him and attacked him. And then her boyfriend, who helped fund this particular campaign, there's no conflict of interest there, right? Since when?
Right.
I mean, honestly, federal law has been broken, in all honesty. A PAC was created by her boyfriend to fund her campaign. You're not supposed to have that kind of access to the person your PAC is funding. Because that's pay to play. But anyway,
they're supposedly, and I'm using my quote fingers when I say supposedly, and I'm looking at myself now using my quote fingers while I'm talking to you, and I can't stop. My quote fingers are going on like they're about to attack my ears and pull them apart. Stop it. Stop it. But supposedly, there's supposed to be no connection at all or some sort of buffer between the head of your PAC, your super PAC, and you. So
right.
There can be no sense of impropriety. So a husband cannot be the director of a super PAC for his wife, and vice versa. But I guess since they're not married,
well, they're not even together anymore. Supposedly, they broke up, and on the way out the door, there are allegations that she's stalking him and jacked up his car. And just went fatal attraction on his ass. So that is, those are the shenanigans from the very moderate, seemingly normal Republican who is running against Pat Merkley. Merkley is the Democratic senator out of Oregon, and she's trying to run against him. So now, am I worried? Heck yeah, I'm worried. Because Oregon, all kinds of outside money, tons of outside money come through Oregon. And, you know, there is a situation, a scenario in which this crazy domestic violence prone woman wins. I don't know how the people of Oregon could vote her in, but stranger things have happened. You know, I guess it all depends. I mean, Oregon has the worst in the country Affordable Care Act website. The worst.
Yeah, which is a lot, is saying a lot, because Maryland's was pretty bad.
Zero people have signed up through their exchange, not because they don't want to, but because they couldn't. And Oregon started building theirs early. It's been, I mean, how Oregon screwed
and
up.
Promoted
has
it, and promoted it heavily, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know how Oregon screwed up. We really, really don't. I have my ideas, but they really, really don't. And I don't know how they could have been so close. They are right smack in the middle of Silicon Valley and us. It makes no sense how they screwed up. I mean, they could have had anybody from Microsoft or from Oracle. Anybody. But whatever. So, you know, that the Obamacare is a sore point with the people of Oregon, whether they don't want it or they want it and they couldn't get it. I mean, the whole thing is just a debacle. So her being a physician, you know, they may vote her in, but she's nuts. Although, that said, I would not be mad at her if she smacked Rand Paul upside the head once she gets there.
Do you think if she does that, that squirrel on top of his head will stay in place? Or you think it'll move?
It might bite her. I think it might bite her.
I think it's highly possible. It's highly possible. Because that thing is as scary as the one on top of Donald Trump's head.
So keep your eyes on Oregon. My heart tells me that Jeff Merkley is going to survive this. The person who is next closest in the race after this crazy chick, he's a Looney Tune as well. So we'll see what the good people of Oregon do. But now what's going on in Georgia, I'm not so sure. I have no idea how to process what's going on in Georgia.
Well, it's just so many people running in Georgia.
That's the problem. And not just
from
so
the
many
Republican
people running,
side.
Not just so many people running, so many people who actually hold office already. Because I think there's like three congressmen running for Saxby Chalice's position, or is it five?
Right. I think it's five. I think it's five former congressmen.
And current. And current.
Right,
that's
and current. You're right.
Yeah, it's the current ones that are running that have confused me. So the problem is, my confusion is that I'm not sure how, I'll have to ask somebody who knows, but I'm not sure how Georgia's system works. I mean, normally, I mean, we saw this in the last presidential election because Joe Biden, you know, and, well, with Barack Obama, both of them already held positions in government. So, you know, it was a matter of if they had to run twice, basically. They had to run for two positions, especially Joe Biden. He had to run for vice president, and he had to run to keep his Senate seat, because if he hadn't made vice president, he was going to go back to being a senator. So I think the same is going on with these guys. You know, they are current congressmen, and they will be current congressmen, but they also have to run for their congressional seat. So what happens if, while they're running for the Senate seat and the congressional seat, they get a challenger for their congressional seat, and their congressional seat, and they lose their primary out of their congressional seat? That would make me happy on several levels, but is that how it works over there? So could some crazy dingbat Tea Party person primary, say, Phil Gingrich, who you and I do not like, and he primaries Phil Gingrich, and Phil Gingrich therefore loses his congressional seat while he's running for senator, and then he doesn't win the Senate seat. Obviously, he'll be out of a job, but I just don't know how all the intricacies of that work for the state of Georgia.
It gets kind of overly confusing, and it makes me want to find out from my brother just what the hell. But he's hard to catch up with these days.
Call my boyfriend. Oh, you gotta call my boyfriend. Call my boyfriend and ask him. He would know. He would definitely know. But
he would.
Hopefully
he would.
That whole thing is just really, really crazy to me, just how many people are running for that Senate seat and how many of them are far crazier than Saxby ever was. Phil Gingrich.
And that's saying a lot,
like,
because Saxby was out there.
Right. And Phil Gingrich is a physician. And some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I'm like, are you serious right now? Oh, Lord. And I think he might even be an OBGYN. Somebody will have to fact check me on that. I think he's a general practitioner. At any rate, he is a doctor, a medical doctor, and it just blows my mind some of the stuff that he lets come out.
Well, I mean, look at the craziness that comes out of Rand Paul's mouth. He's supposed to be a doctor.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm thinking that Phil Gingrich, it was more upsetting to me because I think he's either an OBGYN or a general practitioner. I mean, not to diminish Rand Paul's, you know, medical license and whatnot, but I just, you know, I think he's an eye doctor, right? If the comment had been about eyes, and Rand Paul had said something really, really stupid, I'd be like, are you kidding me right now? But for some reason, I think whatever Phil Gingrich said was part and parcel of his practice. And that's why I was like, wait a minute. you know, it's like being a neurosurgeon and saying, I don't know how the brain works.
Yeah, I think what he, if I'm not mistaken, I think his comment was about, it wasn't women's reproductive rights, but it may have had something to do with
I think it was
abortion.
It was like rape or abortion or rape or something like that.
Right, right. I think he's the one that said
stuff was coming out.
He wasn't the legitimate rape statement guy.
No, he wasn't. That was over in Missouri.
Right, but he did something during the great rape debate. Rape.
Right. Right. So, honey, I don't know what's going on.
He may have been one of the ones during the congressional hearings for Obamacare saying that birth control pills were another form of abortion. If I'm not, I gotta check him. We'll fact check him and know by next week.
Yeah, it was something, but it was something crazy. It was something irresponsible as a physician. And I think he also said something about dinosaurs. Wasn't he the one that had that comment about evolution and dinosaurs? He may have been.
Yeah,
Bill Gingrich said a lot. And I tell you what, I will shoot myself in the head if he is on the Senate floor talking this mess.
Well,
and
you know,
like over in go ahead.
So I say when you got Ted Cruz out there saying things just as stupid, it gets to be kind of disconcerting to think there are more people like him than not.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just like Cochran. Cochran is running. What state is he running out of? Is he out of Mississippi?
It's a vowel state.
Yeah, it is a vowel state. And he's the one who said evolution is a lie straight from the pit of hell. And he's running, and he's likely going to win because the opposing campaign did something extremely stupid, even though they claim it wasn't them. So his wife has had, like, severe dementia, to the point where she's been in a nursing home for like 14 or 15 years, right? And so he allegedly has a girlfriend. You know, they call her his companion and his, like, assistant, and she travels with him and whatever. And she lives in the house that he lives as having his address. And you know what? I'm not mad at him for that. You know, I mean, dementia, it's not like, you know, she's an invalid and can't move, but dementia's dementia. You know, a lot of us have people in our family. That woman probably doesn't even know that man's name, doesn't recognize him as her husband. At any rate, I don't feel personally like he's cheating on her, on his wife. I personally don't feel that way. You know, and we don't know. In one of her lucid moments, she might have said, you know what, that's a wrap for me, go get a girlfriend. I could see that's something I would do. You know, I would be okay if I'm, you know, incapacitated. I would be okay with my husband, you know, moving on and having a life of his own. You know, just make sure you pay for my medical stay. You know, just pay my nursing home bill and take care of my baby and my grandchildren. But do what you got to do to be happy. That's just me. So anyway, you know, they're trying to throw shade on him for having this girlfriend. And then this blogger broke into the woman's nursing home and took video of her and posted it on the internet. People, rightfully so, lost their mind. That is a severe violation. A severe violation. So, but the guy on, you know, immediately took it down. The next day he was arrested. I forget the exact timeline, but let's say he was arrested at like 9 a.m. At 6 or 7 a.m., Cochran's opponent's campaign manager sent a letter or released a statement saying they had nothing to do with this. They didn't know, you know, they know nothing. They didn't know what was going down. Mrs. So-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. The problem with that statement is it came out before he was arrested and before his name was released publicly. So everybody was like, let me spit at you for a minute. How you know his name? How him known to you? And so there was just like this comedy of errors as they bumble and try to say, well, see, Your Honor, what had happened, what had happened was, and so they had to release another statement. Now, they still swear up and down that they had nothing to do with this, you know, kid, and I call him a kid, but he's in his 20s, had nothing to do with this kid, you know, breaking into a nursing home and taking, you know, video of Cochran's incapacitated wife, and yet they sure knew a lot about it before everything was released publicly. And why, you know, yeah, some people have supporters, and some people's supporters are a little crazy, but I can't think of any earthly reason why somebody, supporter or not, would take it upon themselves to break in and take video of some old woman, unless they were asked to by the campaign.
Right. This is not even Watergate. What do you want to call it? Waterpik?
Right. I don't even understand it. The whole thing from any angle is stupid. Let's say they did say, you know, go get pictures of his video of his wife. Why? If it's for no other reason, for dirty tricks. So you're getting ready to run another campaign and say, well, he has a girl, you know, Cochran stands for family values. Yeah, he has a girlfriend while his wife lays in a nursing home withering away. I mean, what's the point? I don't understand any of it.
You know, it's kind of mindful of the movie Campaign, the campaign with Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell. You know, it's like, is this real? I mean, this didn't. Is it? Could it really? No, you're kidding. But this is how they play. This is how they play. They play this really crazy stuff. And what amazes me is that people seeing all this will still vote for the candidate who is the most shenanigan-ified person in the group.
Right. But in this case, we're getting the lessons of two evils, because his opponent is, you know, this Tea Party guy, conservative, talk show host who said some really controversial stuff on his radio station. And then Cochran says evolution is out of the pit, straight from the pit of hell. Lies from the pit
right.
of hell. So either way, the constituents are screwed, but now Cochran is a shoe-in. We can only hope that there is a Democrat because this was a primary, so we can only hope that there's a Democrat who can give him a run for his money. I would have preferred that the crazy guy beat Cochran, because there would have been a chance. He's so out there that a moderate Democrat probably could have come in and snatched it.
And that's just we've just covered two of the, was it 20 states in play right now, or is it less? Maybe it's eight. It's eight states in play.
It's eight states in play. I think seven tonight, and then I think Mississippi is next Tuesday. We haven't even touched Kentucky yet.
We haven't gotten to Kentucky or Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Kentucky. But see, the disappointing thing about Kentucky, for me anyway, is that I can't stand Mitch McConnell. I can't stand him and the ground he walks on. And his opponent, Bevin, Tea Party, and, he, you know, he says stuff that you expect out of somebody in the Tea Party. But of Tea Party people, I haven't heard anything completely crazy out of his mouth. But I know if he beat Mitch McConnell, Allison Lunderman, Allison Lundergreen, I think is the Democrat's last name, who's running on the – she would have easily beat Bevin. Easily beat Bevin. No question. But she's got her work cut out for her with Mitch McConnell. And not even just because, you know, I'm pulling for Allison. Mitch has been in there long enough.
He's been in there long enough, and his main focus since 2008 has not been to provide for the American people. Has not been to build roads. Has not been to stabilize infrastructure. Has not been to work to decrease the deficit. It's not been to provide health care for all citizens of the country. It's not been for a stronger military. His main focus, as he said on the floor of the Senate in 2008, was to make sure that President Obama was a one-term president. And failing that, it was to completely undermine the president's agenda, no matter who it benefited.
Right. And not only that, Kentucky, thanks to its Democratic governor, who has an over 70% approval rating. When does a governor ever have over 70% approval rating? Especially a Democrat in red Kentucky has one of the best ACA programs in the country. There are states that are modeling after Kentucky in terms of their Affordable Care Act implementation. Now, we all know how Mitch McConnell feels about that, right? Dollars to donuts. He's going to take credit for it in this race at some point. All the obstructionism, all the backbiting, all the acerbic comments. Thank God for the people of Kentucky that their Democratic governor ignored everything coming out of Mitch's mouth. I read somewhere like 62% of the people who previously did not have health insurance in the state of Kentucky now have health insurance. I'm sorry, what? Yes. Okay, good job. Now, the people of Kentucky suffer from that voting against their best interest because they did a little poll, and there were lots of people who can't stand Obamacare and think it's the scourge of the earth, but they, you know, they do love the health exchange that they have in the state of Kentucky. Yeah, that breaks my brain too.
Yeah, it makes you go, am I drunk?
Right.
Or am I
right?
Right.
Right. You're like, but you understand that the health exchange that is Obamacare. Never mind, baby. Okay. You go on over there and sit down. I understand. So, at any rate, by tomorrow, we'll see, you know, where we stand. Because today was a big primary because of all the red states and Pennsylvania and Oregon. And, you know, they've been doing the doom cry for quite some time. You know, 2016, you know, the Senate is going to flip and we're going to lose all these seats and blah, 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 blah. You know, I think we'll retain the Senate.
It'll be slim.
I'm praying. Yeah, it'll be slim. I've been praying that we are able to flip the house, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that we may shorten that gap a little bit. And hopefully we'll get some more moderate Republicans in there who are willing to cross the aisle. Because people are starting to see some of these Tea Party people. I wish to God Texas would get rid of Cruz. I know we can't get rid of him until 2020.
No, he can go sooner than that. If he launches an unsuccessful presidential bid, and someone backfills his seat, you know, goes after his seat. And also, I kind of get a feeling that at some point along the line, there's going to be video of him taking his hand out of the cookie jar with a bunch of money in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or he's going to be caught having a conversation with his racist father when he lets the N-word slip out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He could take Rubio with him. Did you hear Rubio's answer to "Did you ever smoke pot"?
I did, but I can't remember it right now. I didn't prep for Rubio.
Sorry, it just popped in my head. We were talking about Tea Party shenanigans. But yeah, I mean, he danced around it and just say he all he had to do was say yes or no. Have you ever smoked weed? Yep. Nope. I don't want to elaborate. I had fun in college. That's all you need to know. No.
When I was younger and didn't know any better.
Right. That's all he had to say. But he was like, well, you know, if I did, there's not anything I want my kids to see, to know about, because I don't want them thinking that drugs are, you know, a good thing. And, you know, I have little kids that look up to me. So, no, that's just something private. And if I say no, nobody's going to believe me. So, look, he listens to what, Jay-Z and Tupac? Yes, he smoked
supposedly.
Yes, he smoked weed. Not only did he smoke weed, he was in a puff-puff pass rotation. I don't care.
Or he smoked so much weed that he can't answer straight anymore about whether or not he smoked weed. Because he's got an entire Cheech and Chong memory thing going on.
Right. And see, you know what, and not everybody who listens Pac and Jay-Z smoked weed. I mean, I can point to myself. I smoked weed when I was 16 once. But my parents smoked weed, so it's not foreign to me. I know what it smells like. I've been accidentally in the puff-puff pass rotation. It was the 70s, you know. They'd pass it to me, not meaning to pass it to me, and I'd just pass it on. That's just what you did. I tried it when I was 16. I was like, whatever. But just admit it and move on. I have admitted it to my kids. You know, and you use it as a teachable moment, you know. I did it. I did it once. I didn't care for it, you know. Don't do that shit under my roof.
Well, if I'm asked, you know, have you ever smoked pot, my straight answer without equivocation is no. I've never smoked pot, never tried to smoke pot, never smoked pot. I don't believe in smoking marijuana, whether it's illegal or not. It's good for me because I'm an addict, so any smoke going into my lungs is an affront. I just don't like it. However, I have been drinking, not heavily, but consistently since I was way too young to even buy it. So, you know, I'm not a heavy drinker, but I know my way around opening a bottle or two. Just want you to know that.
Right. I mean, we know my stance with alcohol. I didn't start drinking until 2 years ago, and I still only drink Moscato. I don't mess around with heavy alcohol or anything like that. I've had wine coolers in my life. I've had Long Island iced tea 3 times, twice by accident. You have to be very specific when you are in clubs. Very specific. And the last time I had a Long Island iced tea, remember, I was at a restaurant and gave it to my daughter. Because I was like, why does this iced tea taste so funny? I was at a restaurant with my kids. It had a bar attached to it. But it never occurred to me that sitting down for a dinner in a restaurant, despite the fact that there's a bar attached to it, that asking for an iced tea would automatically be changed into Long Island. And I know you remember, I was like, pass it to my daughter. Why does this taste so funny? Here, taste it. This tastes really, really funny. And I could not smell any alcohol in it at all. And I said, I don't know. Maybe they use, like some bad lemonade or something because it's kind of bitter, too. I don't even understand it. This is nasty. I don't like this iced tea. And we're just pouring sugar in and trying to sweeten it up. And she's tasted it, and I'm tasting it. And she was, like, 9 at the time. And I'm like, I don't understand why this tastes so bad. And the waitress said, is everything okay? I was like, my iced tea tastes funny. I don't know. Did you guys use some, like, bad lemonade or something? And my daughter doesn't like it either. And she's like, you let your daughter drink? I was like, wait a minute. What you talking about let my daughter drink? She's like, that's a Long Island iced tea. I was like, are you shitting me? And you remember I burst into tears because I was like, oh, my God, they're going to take my baby. I just gave her alcohol. But I still say
that was the waitress's fault, not your fault. When you're in a restaurant that has a bar and the person orders an iced tea, you have to ask, do you want straight iced tea, Long Island iced tea, sweet iced tea? So you have to be very clear, and that clarity, that onus is on the waitress, not on you, the woman who pulled up to the bumper in her long black limousine playing Centipede.
Right, you know I'm simple, but
wearing
anyway,
a print
you know,
T-shirt.
It's not a hard question to answer. Yes or no, you can elaborate or not. You know, I have so much respect for Barack Obama, aside for, you know, the respect I have for Barack Obama, for just admitting his drug use. Just admit it. You don't have to write an essay on it. You're not the only person in America who has experimented. You won't be the last. And you can still be a role model, even though, you know, you tried cocaine. People do stupid shit. Now, does that mean that you should go out and try cocaine because you're going to become the next president of the United States? No.
There's a lot more to it than that. Just saying.
But, you know, teachable moment. Talk to me about Pennsylvania because I haven't followed that.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, Pennsylvania makes Kentucky seem like, you know, Pennsylvania's kindergarten because it's gotten really – Pennsylvania and Oregon are getting all the press and rightfully so, and Georgia's getting all the press and rightfully so. But there's some stuff going on in Pennsylvania too. And one of the things before I even go down that road on Pennsylvania – I want to snap back to Kentucky for a minute. One of the things I think needs to be fleshed out deeply is McConnell handily won his primary, but I saw with like 66% of the vote in, he had something like close to 76,000. Voters, and the Democratic nominee won in a really red state, the same percentage of voters in. I think she was at 120,000 voters. Now, how that translates over come general election night, when, again, you're in a red state, a completely red state, but Mitch McConnell is clocking at a 33% approval rating in his state. So his pocket is ripe to be picked. He can lose big in Kentucky. It can happen. It could really happen. And I think we need to be cognizant of the fact that it finally could be a Senate without Mitch McConnell in it. And to go back, I remember you were the first person I heard calling for Ashley Judd to run against him. But I really think he could be gone. I'm sorry, that broke up. Hit us again.
I think there was a chance he could be picked off.
Right, right, right. So, this could get really, really interesting, really exciting coming down the line if we keep our eye on it. And if what do you pronounce? What is the term for a collective of people from Kentucky? Kentuckians, Kentuckionians, Kentuckianites, inbreds. I mean, what do you? What do we say? What do we call these people who we? Oh my goodness, we've no wonder it broke up. We lost Kamal. Hopefully, she'll be able to dial back in and rejoin us. Don't know if she hit a dead zone or if her phone went off or being out there in the great Northwest. Maybe the coat hanger on top of the pine tree that's a cell site for her carrier got chopped down. So I don't want to continue that part of the conversation without her, but I do want to touch on a couple quick things. And we'll go over this when she comes back. A little housekeeping. Don't know with next Monday being, this coming Monday being Memorial Day, if we'll do a show on Tuesday. But if we do, it'll probably be a more fun show unless somebody really goes off and gets off in America. As we've known them to do, somebody will make some statement that'll make us scratch our heads. Also, I wanted to bring up this week that the woman who caused all the controversy with Donald Sterling and the LA Clippers has been doing the talk show circuit and actually was on Dr. Phil recently. And she is cocoa for Cocoa Puffs, not dismissing what she brought out. I still believe what I believe, that when you tick off your mistress and your wife, there's a hell to pay that you deserve. And all that's happening to Donald Sterling right now and all that's going on with Donald Sterling right now is the product of his own lechousness. But I just thought it was interesting, and I wanted to bring that up with Kamal tonight as well, that the man was dating a complete woo-woo. There's pictures and video of her roller skating with the sun visor down, videotaping the paparazzi, videotaping and photographing her. And it kind of reminds me of the man outside of Chicago that killed two of his ex-wives, possibly three. The cop, I can't remember his name, but you know, his behavior once he was under scrutiny was just bizarre, and this woman is just as bizarre. So don't see Kamal coming back in. I don't know if I can monologue this the rest of these 10 minutes of the show, but I'm going to give it a shot. You all hang with me. You know we try to deliver high qualityness in everything we do. So let's talk real quick, because we didn't really touch on it. Was we talked about Pat Sajak. We really didn't talk about was the genesis for their for his statement about global warming. Wherever you are in this country, you have to have been affected by what's been going on weather-wise, from West Coast to East Coast to West Coast, North, South, everywhere in between. This is the one-year anniversary of the tornado that wiped out Oklahoma, parts of Oklahoma. And, you know, the weather patterns being what they are, things are crazy in this country right now. Things are crazy in this world right now. And to say that there's no correlation between what's happening in the weather and global climate change is you're denying the inevitable when you need to speak up and speak out and accept the reality, and let's try to do something to fix it. Kamal finally figured out how to use her rotary phone and appears to have come back to us. Kamal, can you hear us? Are you there? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you hit a dead zone or?
Yeah, I did. I hit a dead zone.
Now, you just hit
apparently
a dead zone. You didn't hit an actual person, did you?
No. I, as you know, it's orientation for middle school, and so apparently they have a cone of silence. Around the middle school. So I had to make my way back out and discuss this. But, I mean, I hear what I picked up on what you were saying. I mean, the wildfires we had in San Diego, yes, I grew up in San Diego. There's four seasons. There's drought, flood, earthquake, and fire. It's always been that way. But a couple of those days were the hottest days ever on record. For that date? I mean, like, normally, let's see, it's May. It's normally in the 80s for May, and it was, like, 103. Sounds like some climate change to me.
Climate effectiveness, effectiveness.
Right. We've had, here in Washington, we had the rainiest March ever. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, especially since it rains out there only every other time it stops raining.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we alternate between raining and getting ready to rain.
Right. It's not rain anymore, it's just wet.
Right. But I mean it was the wettest March on record. I mean, something is going on. And, you know firsthand how much snow we had late into the year.
Right. The fact that you all got snow late in the year is amazing.
Well, no. Remember how cold the fact that you guys were, like, cold.
Yeah, we were. That's what I'm saying. You all don't get as much snow as you got. We usually
right.
get a lot of snow late. But we've had continuing cold fronts that just won't stop coming and won't stop. You know, like Mother Nature is playing the gotcha game. I mean, it was cold enough for a coat the other day.
Yeah, but then we want to deny that there is any type of climate change. Okay.
We don't want to deny it. The people who should know better want to deny it.
That's the story.
There was a fire tornado in San Diego last week.
I know. Right.
I mean, that's some stuff you see in a Star Trek movie.
Right. Visualize a tornado, except for it's all flames.
And it's going across the countryside, burning everything up. A funnel of fire, a pillar of fire. You want to say global climate change can't be real because it's not in the Bible. If you look in the Bible, God sent a pillar of fire to help the Israelites escape from Egypt. It kept Pharaoh's men at bay.
And there you go. And it wasn't just one firenado either. It was several.
Right. They won't believe it when they stop being firenados and being sharknados.
Right. That's what my daughter said. She says, "Mommy, are sharknados next?" I said, "Baby." If you let the movie tell it, yep.
Y'all going to learn. You're going to learn. It's going to be too late. I mean, we may be gone, but Republicans are quick to say, you know, what about our kids? What about, you know, we're mortgaging the future for our grandchildren. Our grandchildren had better have gills and asbestos-laced skin.
Right. No, I think, remember that movie The Day After Tomorrow where water just came in and just froze? Like, the Statue of Liberty froze and crumbled?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's next.
Yeah.
The North is going to freeze and the South is going to burn.
And the North is going to sink a little bit. As I've said before, Lil TL is living in Miami, and Miami Beach be renamed. Well, let me put it this way: Atlanta, Georgia, will become Miami Beach in probably about 150, 200 years if things aren't done. And I don't even know if things can be done, but it's highly possible. And it's time for people to wake up and stop.
Stop pretending. It's clear that we can't reverse this overnight, but I don't understand why the Republicans won't allow us to. Well, I understand you got to file the money, but I don't understand why they won't allow us to take steps to prevent it from getting any worse.
Because that costs money and that's profit, and they don't want.
Well, they're in bed with the oil companies. You know, they're in bed with the transportation companies. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Sometimes you got to take a look in the mirror and see who you're in bed with and go, this is a coyote ugly situation, and I need to chew my arm off and get out of it.
Right. Well, partner, I'm going to go on inside. My baby's going into middle school.
Oh, clutch the pearls.
I know. Today is middle school. Tomorrow is college. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, I'm sure you'll handle it well, oldie.
Yes.
And when she hits high school, you can finally let 25 walk away. Okay. Just turn around and say goodbye.
I think I'll go to 28. That's my next jump. I'm going to go from 25 to 28. I just don't know when.
I'll be sure to send you an appropriate birthday card with the right music.
Yeah.